God, yeah. How do I follow next last week? I mean, Sanjay was so good, wasn't he? And he really is an international speaker. I mean, I've spoken overseas on the Isle of Wight.
As Christians, we relate to God in a way that no other faith does. We believe that God is, I forgot Sunday school, didn't I? We believe that God is a Trinity, that he's three persons in one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you notice here that the Father is God, but the Father is not the Spirit. And the Spirit is God, but the Spirit is not the Son. And the Son is God, but he's not the Father. It's quite complex. It's almost sort of difficult to understand. But as humans, we are made in the image of God. That means that we are three-part beings. Body, mind, and spirit. Mostly, we understand our body and mind, don't we? But we struggle to understand our spirit sometimes. We look after our physical health, and we care about our mental health, our minds, but we often totally neglect our spirit, our spiritual health. And we do pretty much the same with God as well, actually. Jesus, well, he's God's son. Somebody's expressed it as God in a bod. It's not always a simple idea, but at least we can sort of get a hand on it and understand it. God, he's the Father. Imagine the perfect Father and you're there. I mean, any detailed questions go into categories of almighty, omniscient, omnipresent, timeless, eternal. Well, a lot of that is not simple either, is it? But at least he fits into a category. But the Holy Spirit is unique. And to many people, very mysterious. There's not a category for him. He doesn't fit into any of our boxes. And we don't hear many sermons about the Holy Spirit as a person. We almost act like he doesn't exist because we don't sort of understand him in some way. And many preachers, you know, will stick their necks out and try to preach about it to help us understand. And that's my aim today. If you know me, you'll know I'm not particularly a theologian. I like theology and it's good, but I'm not a theologian. I've done a massive 6 weeks of Bible school, which for me was an awful long time. But I'm not a theology, but my passion, one of my passions is to unpack the Bible for people so that you can get a hold of it and so that you can live it. What's the point of just having pages in a book? God wants us to be able to take the word from where it is on the page and put it into life, because it not only changes our lives, it changes the lives of other people, and it can shape the world that we live in. So that's one of my... So it's obvious that we can't live in an intimate relationship with this triune God while we act like one of those three persons that he shows himself as. We can't relate to him. If we act that he's not really there, we don't understand him. So I'm going to use something to sort of illustrate the role of the Holy Spirit, how he works, what he does. And I'm going to use an everyday thing to explain how it works for me. It's a good way to understand it. Almost everybody has got a smartphone. Have you got a smartphone? Can you hold? Oh, my light's still on. That shouldn't be on. What's going on here? Turn that off. That's it. You got a smartphone? Yes? Phone? Hold it up. Let's see. Yeah? Right, now put it on silent. So I want you to be able to hear me, you know, all the phone going off. Yeah. Some of them are real posh. Some of them are simple and bricks. I mean, I know until recently Alf had a brick. Now he's got modern and he's got a smartphone. So how do these things work, though? I mean, it's just a little sort of box-shaped thing. Yeah. How does it work? Well, this is what happens when you switch it on. Oh, what's that? That's not the one. A signal goes out from a cellular network and it pings out. Yeah, that's it. And we've all seen these masts around the place. There's a couple that are by the level crossings. A signal goes out and it sends out a signal called a ping. Now, when you switch your handset on, it's listening. But when you switch it on, it also sends out a signal, and the mast is listening for it. And if you've got a Wi-Fi or something like that, a hi-fi, and you switch your phone on near it, it will go very rapidly. Well, that's your phone pinging the mast. So you ping the mast, and you say, "Hello, I'm here." You know, but God does the same for us because he pings your phone and he says, "Are you ready to hear me? Are you ready to receive from me?" And if your phone sends back, "Yes, I'm ready to receive from you," then the message will be connected by the mast. But you don't have to receive a call, do you? When your phone goes off, you get two buttons, a red one and a green one, yeah? The green one says answer, and the other one says decline. Yeah? Have you ever done that? Declined a call? I have. And it's the same with God. You see, God talks to us through the Holy Spirit, but we don't always listen. Well, the Holy Spirit's role in all this thing is the Holy Spirit is like the network. He's the carrier of the signal. He's the one that communicates with us and we communicate back to him. And it's really quite like a telephone network. But because we don't have to answer, it shows that we are like God as well because we have free will. We are not forced to receive a signal, are we? We don't have to take a telephone call or answer a text there and then. It can actually wait sometimes. So, in that way, though it's unique, we're made in God's image and equipped with a human spirit that specifically and uniquely designed by the Creator to relate to him, to be in connection with him. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. But each one of us is different. I mean, your phone is completely different from mine. Your phone cannot be mistaken for mine. And mine can't be substituted for somebody else because each phone has a unique code. And it's not your telephone number. It's called an IMEI number. Each handset has a specific IMEI number. And when you want to change phone companies, you have to ask them for the IMEI number. You can actually look it up by doing a certain keystrokes. Michael probably knows what they are. But you're unique. So you've got this unique identity as a person. No two people have got the same fingerprints. No two people have got the same personality. No two people have got the same characteristics, the same way they talk or whatever. You can get find people that will imitate others, and you can do all sorts of things with your body, can't you? You can do all sorts of things with your voice. I can remember when I was a child that my brothers and sisters and I, we used to play. We used to play spies and things like that. And I was always the mad professor. And my daughter, even today, she has a friend that she talks to. They speak in cod French and cod German. And one is Fi and the other one is Fumpf. And then, hello, this is Fi here. And they will talk back and forth. We can do amazing things. But one of the things that we're not always so amazing at is being in touch with God. And we know this is true. We recognize it. But one thing you do get on your phones, and I bet you've all had them, is those calls. Hello. And that's what you say, isn't it? Hello. Hello. I understand you've been in an accident. Yeah? I don't know how you respond. This is how it goes with me. Hello? Hello. I'm calling about the accident you've been in recently. Oh, yes. I love to have accidents. It's really part of a hobby. It's ever such fun meeting all those policemen. And they just hang up. It works. Try it. But we get spam calls, spam emails, sales texts, sales calls, news calls. Have you ever had a nuisance call from God? Never. God does not spam us. He might not say the things we want to hear necessarily always, but he doesn't spam us. So, when we become Christians, we become activated to a new network. Have you ever changed your network? I changed from BT to, or was it Virgin, one of them, to 3. And it was quite different. Quite different in the way that I related to them and that. But not all networks are good, are they? Some of them are quite bad, in fact. And through them, some networks tend to allow more advertising and spam and things like that. But not with God. God does not spam us, and we don't get wrong communication from him. When God wants to communicate with us, he sends a signal through the Holy Spirit. And there's something in you that responds to God. There's something in you that knows that God is your Father. There's something that helps you to recognize this is God speaking. And the more you get used to that voice, and the more you get used to hearing that voice, the better you get at understanding what he's saying and what he's doing. Sometimes it's just simply the idea of praying. You ought to pray for this. Sometimes it's an urge or a sense that you need to go and talk to somebody. It might be that, the Lord wants you to give money to write a check for someone, or read your Bible, go back home, or to another specific location. I've had friends who were asking the Lord, what should I do? And the Lord told them to go out and turn right and go to the end of the road and to walk around the block. And as they walked around the block, they met somebody that was in a desperate situation who really needed to talk to somebody. He talked to them. He led them to the Lord, and they became a Christian because he obeyed what God said. The best one I can think of for me was, you've probably heard this before, but I'm going to repeat it anyway. When I was driving out to India overland, I was in Afghanistan and I was driving. It was getting dark and we were going uphill and uphill and uphill and uphill and uphill and uphill and uphill for a long time. and we were running out of fuel. We only had a quarter of a tank and a five-gallon drum to drive. And I'm praying, Lord, I know we've got enough fuel. We haven't got enough fuel. What am I going to do, Lord? What should I do? Driving, uphill. And suddenly the Lord said to me, take the truck out of gear. Well, if you drive, you know that is something you do not do. You don't take your vehicle out of gear because it's not safe. But I felt the Lord tell me to take it out of gear. I took it out of gear. And we rolled down the hill and halfway up the other one. I put it back in gear again. We drove to the top of that hill and down the other side, rolled down the other side. And I did that for about 20 miles. It's a long way. Then I finished driving. Somebody else took over, and during the night while I was sleeping, they put the other fuel in and they carried on driving. And when we got to in the morning, it suddenly went quiet. The engine cut out and we were still rolling. We rolled down the hill into a village in the middle of goodness knows where in Afghanistan. I don't know where it was. But we rolled into this village, rolled to a stop. And got out of the truck. There were 14 of us in this truck. We got out and we started asking, where can we buy diesel? And the people in the village said, just there. God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Good stuff. But when these things happen, you don't have to respond to the call, do you? I didn't have to take it out of the gear. I could have carried on driving. But I listened to what the Lord said, and that was part of the result. So God doesn't require a call. We don't have to answer him. But it's to our advantage usually when he does. Something else. God never leaves a voicemail. Do you like voicemail? I cannot stand voicemail. You know, these messages that you get on the phone from somebody who's tried to contact you. I usually look, oh, it's Freddie, a bank, and I'll read phone back. I don't like the voice messages. And he doesn't usually resend text messages either. I mean, when you push the thing and somehow you manage to send your text message three times or four times. Have you ever done that? No? I have. But God never does that. He doesn't make those sort of mistakes. He simply invites us to get in touch. I mean, what does that mean? What's that mean? Huh? Give us a bell. Call me. That's all he says. Call me. He simply invites us to connect with him and to know what he wants for us and for those around us. But this means we have to be paying attention, doesn't it? Taking the call and moving in response to what he says. It not only builds our faith and blesses us. I mean, can you imagine what it would do to you if the 20-mile incident happened to you? Fantastic. You would know that you've heard God. And so after that, you think, right, so that's what the voice of God sounds like. When I hear that, I can rely on it. I know where I am. And when you start to hear what God is saying, as you do it, you get more confident in that voice. You get more familiar with it. And because it brings blessing, it not only brings blessing to us, but when we respond to what God is saying to us, it blesses other people as well. Because God's very economical about what he does. But if we ignore that call, and we can do, it can deaden our sensitivity over time. We no longer hear the ring. I mean, everybody shudders at my ring. Have you heard my ringtone? My ringtone, see if I could get it up. It might take me a moment. It might make you shake as well. Where are we? Where would I find it? I can't find it on the hoof. My ringtone is an air raid siren.
You know, and when it goes off, people look around and, you know, some of them are hiding under the table. But it goes off. Who's that's Michael. It's got to be. Oh, it's you, is it? Mirella, you naughty girl. So it's playing up at the moment. I don't know why. It's getting all sorts of funny ringtones, so I've got to sort that out. But when we sort of stop listening to God, then it deadens our sensitivity. And we don't not only hear him, but we don't feel the vibrations. Because there are times, like in the service today, there are times when you actually feel the presence of God. You know that God showed up. And it's really quite tangible. I find it really quite tangible at times. There are times when I'm sort of absolutely alive with the presence of God with me. I can feel it. In my body. It doesn't happen all the time, and I don't look for it. I don't depend on that I can't do anything unless I feel this or that. But it's a blessing when I do. Romans 8:26 says this: in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And I think we've all prayed like that at times. There's times when we thought, do you know God knows exactly how you feel when that happens? Isn't that amazing? What an incredible God we have. He knows that. And some that the Holy Spirit prays through that is expressing something to God. And not only that, it's not expressing something to God, but God hears us. Because often when you have that sort of, there's a comfort that comes that sort of says, yeah, I know, I've heard. And that is just a blessing. So if the Holy Spirit is the cellular network that connects God and you and me, what do the messages say? What do these messages say? What kind of things does God ask us to do? When God speaks, what does he say? God almost always speaks about things that are in the centre of our relationship, of my relationship with him. He talks about me and him. It's not very often that he talks about them, you know, go and change them. He doesn't do that. He talks to me and says, you change. So this part of what he says. It's at the centre of his relationship. We don't get stock market tips, you know, buy this share, it's going to do really well. I've had people ask me that. I had a man at work once ask me, he said, you hear from God, don't you? I said, yeah, I do quite a lot. He said, do you think you could ask him what's going to win the 330? So I said, okay, I'll pray about that. I went away and saw him a little bit later, and he come back really eager. He says, okay. Did you pray? Did you ask? I said, yeah. And he says, and did God tell you something? I said, yeah. So do you know what's going to win the 330? I said, yeah. And he's really getting on it. So he says, well, what is it then? I said, a horse. He wasn't particularly amused, but I couldn't resist, you know. But to be serious, here are a few of the things that God has said through the Holy Spirit to me at various different times in my life. The first of them is encouragement. Are we there? There we are. It's the best picture I could think of it in encouragement that sort of sums it up. Because often when you're
in need of encouragement, you're in a situation where you're surrounded by all this. But God comes along and he's, you know, he encourages us. What would you have me know? God often responds with a sense and an affirmation of his love for me. And sometimes that can be really quite strong. Sometimes when I pray for someone else, he reminds me that he loves that other person as well. And there have been times in when I've been speaking to people when I've just felt that God really loves you. And there have been times when I've been doing one of my favourite things that I like to do, and I don't get to do it very often, but I like to walk along the seashore, right by the water's edge. Somehow I seem to connect really well to God when I'm walking by the sea like that. And he just tells me, "You're my son, I love you." And that really strengthens you, that really encourages you. So the next thing we've got is direction. And we don't always know where to go, but this isn't, well, shall I go left or shall I go right? It's more a direction in terms of where you're going in total. So you have a situation like this where there's a fork in the road. It might be that you could take either one of those forks or go to the same place. But God knows, he's saying, go to so-and-so. And he'll give you the directions you need. When you sit just quietly and talk to the Lord, what would you have me pray for today? He consistently brings people to your mind as to who to pray for and often how to pray for them. A lot of times we tend to ask for a specific outcome, don't we? Lord, please, you know, help X or Y to do this and guide them as to, you know, and we say what we want. But we don't need to do God's job for him. He knows what he's doing and he's much better at it than we are. But we can at least assure people that they've been heard. The third one, guidance. So it's light direction, but it's guidance. This is guidance. It's much more personal, isn't it? And it's guidance that helps you achieve. This little boy is achieving, climbing up this stack of books. He's achieving, but he's being guided and helped. And when we need to do things in our lives, God guides us. He helps us to achieve. He gives us the assurance that you can do it. Trust me. That's what the mum's saying. Trust me. I've got this. You're safe. Sometimes it's just love them. Don't try to fix them. And often our tendency, especially for men, is to try and fix things. And I'm very much like that. I like to fix things and sort problems out. But sometimes there's a silence, isn't there? That's and a sense that I just need to wait before doing something or saying something. And very often there's a challenge as well. A challenge to take a step that perhaps I'm finding difficult to take. Or a reminder to drop my expectations and just follow him. Do what he's asking me to do, to trust him. Next thing is remembrance. God will bring a verse to mind when I'm praying. He'll bring a verse to mind when I'm speaking very often. And I often wonder how that happens because I'm absolutely terrible at memorizing scripture. I find it really hard to consciously memorize scripture. Somehow, I'm absorbing scripture, but it sort of goes in sideways for me, and it goes in visually for me. But when I need a verse, I might not know the reference, but I know the content of what the verse is saying, usually. But John 14:6 says this, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And our image of remembrance there is the communion cup and wine. And when we come together, the words that we say we do this in remembrance of Jesus until he comes. Very important. The final thing that we're going to look at is peace. And in those times when we talk with God and worship him and call on his name and just spend time lost in his presence, you can feel him there. You know he's there. Whether he speaks to me or not, it's not the issue. I feel him there. I know he's with me. And we can never demand that the Holy Spirit does something. We can ask, we can request, but we can't demand. We can never demand that. But we can rest in faith that God loves us and hears us and is with us. I can remember a time when money was tight and I worked shifts and at that time and I needed to go to work by car at horrible times of the day. I might finish at 3 a.m. I might start at 3 a.m. No buses at that time. I had to drive. I needed a car. But I didn't have money for the car tax. And I prayed about it. And I know God heard me. Because a day or two later, through my door came an envelope with the exact amount of money I needed for the car tax. It was in a brown envelope, in used notes. I don't know where it came from, but I know God heard me. And God hears you as well. So these are some of the things that God wants to say to you, because he's a good and he's a perfect Father. He loves us and he wants to talk to us. He wants to spend time with us. If we ignore him or refuse him, or worse, even worse, just cut off his call. And you know what it's like when that happens. You feel, well, why did they hang up? Yeah? Why did they hang up? If we do that, we won't hear the Holy Spirit. So pick up God's call when he calls. Better still, call him yourself. Speak to him. Because our Father, Heavenly Father, he stands ready for your call. His network is always up. It's always listening. Jeremiah 29:12 says, when you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. And you do get people like that, don't you? That when you call them, you try to get a word in edgeways, but it's, yes, but, ever had that? Yeah. It's nice to know you've all called me then. Psalm 95:15 in the NIRV says, he will call out to me and I will answer him. I will be with him in times of trouble. I will save him and honor him. And Habakkuk 2:1 in the NIRV says, I will go up to the lookout tower. I'll station myself on the city wall and I'll wait to see how the Lord will reply to me. Then I'll try to figure out how to answer him. And sometimes we're in that place where we have to figure out, well, okay, God, how do I respond to what you've said to me? And that's a good place to be, because it means that God is stretching us, he's taking us to a new place in him, a new place in his love, a new place in our journey towards his purpose for us. God's leading, I don't know about you, but God is leading me in new paths of prayer. He's leading me in new ways of relationship. And it's my prayer that he will lead you as well to seek and get more deeply connected to him, because he loves us and he wants to communicate with us. So when you hear that call, pick it up and say what little Samuel said. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Amen.